1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.
Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, the 16th of June, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners, KJAA in Globe and KAPR in Douglas. And of course, the Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of our program at buckmastershow.com, along with archiving all our previous programs for your listening pleasure 24/7. We are live weekdays from noon to one. The lineup for today's show includes a leadoff interview, a newsmaker interview with Ken Bennett. Mr. Bennett is the Arizona Secretary of State. Then a conversation with Senator Paula Aboud. Senator Aboud is the minority whip of the Arizona Senate. At the bottom of the hour, Tucson City Councilwoman Shirley Scott will be along for a live in-studio interview. Then we'll close out the show with author Leonard Sheff. Mr. Sheff will be discussing his book, The Cow in the Parking Lot, A Zen Approach to Overcoming Anger. The Buckmaster Show is primarily driven by interviews. However, there is always room for our listeners with a comment or question. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040 or outside of the Tucson area, 1-866-725-5467. We're going to lead off the Buckmaster Show with the Secretary of State for the state of Arizona, Ken Bennett. Mr. Bennett, thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing real well, and I want to lead off with a little bit of controversy here about the governor contending that she will remain the governor even when she attends the Paris Air Show in France, despite a constitutional provision which says the Secretary of State, that would be you, inherits the powers and duties of the office of governor during any absence from the state or other temporary disability of the elected governor. So where do you stand on all of this?
Well, obviously, as technologies have changed, the governor's physical absence from the state does not necessarily mean that, you know, she can't be in contact with the state, of course. And so I think that if she's not available that probably means whether she's in the state or not. But, I mean, if you were in certain parts of the state where you couldn't get cell coverage, and if the governor was temporarily unavailable, or if she had a tooth repaired and was under anesthesia or something like that. So, I mean, obviously the Constitution talks about, in the event of impeachment of the governor, their absence from the state, or other temporary disability. And so, beginning with kind of with the Napolitano administration, they started kind of focusing, I think, more on the disability aspect, and said that, you know, when I'm out of the state, I'm still in contact through phones and things like that. So there are times when the governor could still be temporarily unable to discharge their duties if they can't be contacted or aren't in a cell, an area where the cell phones work and things like that. And if the need arose, then I, as the next in line for the Constitution, could and would make decisions if necessary, all the while trying to make contact with the governor as soon as possible and keep them in the loop. But it has kind of become, with this governor and the one prior, they've kind of focused on the third aspect of that part of the Constitution, not just if they're gone from the state.
So it's not real. Is it safe to say with you, it's not really a big deal either way?
It really isn't. If she was out of the state and could not be contacted by phone, or other methods, and a crisis arose and a decision needed to be made, I would make those decisions. While we were making those decisions, we would, of course, be in contact with her staff and constantly be trying to get in touch with her as well. But I don't consider it a big deal, and I'm not one that wants to try to push the issue that, well, the Constitution says if you're absent from the state, then the duties go to the next one in line. But I do recognize that, you know, our capabilities to communicate have changed over the, especially the last couple of decades, and simply being absent from the state doesn't mean that the governor isn't in contact with their staff and all of the state agencies. So, to me, it's not a big deal. We will make the decisions if needed in absence or a temporary disability of the governor, but as soon as that temporary disability is overcome, then the governor is right back in charge.
It's 10 minutes past 12. This is the Buckmaster Show. Ken Bennett is the Arizona Secretary of State, and he is on the Buckmaster Show live line. If you have a question for Mr. Bennett, now's the time to do it, 790-2040. Do you still get some questions now that you're Secretary of State from everyday folks who say, "What, Mr. Bennett, what does the Secretary of State do in the state of Arizona?" Folks that don't realize, you're really, I mean, it's like Lieutenant Governor. We don't have a Lieutenant Governor, so you're like number two.
I get that question a lot, Bill, and my answer is, but the Secretary of State is really responsible for four things. One, I serve as the chief elections official for the state of Arizona, and that's one of the main parts of our office is the elections division. But I always like to remind people that the state of Arizona does not own one piece of equipment to print a ballot or count a ballot. All of that, by state law, is owned at the local county level. So we work very closely with the 15 counties, the recorders who are elected in each county, to and they have responsibility for the voter registration files and the mail-in ballot process. And then the county election directors, which are usually appointed by the boards of supervisors in each county, and they're kind of responsible for the election day activities, getting the polling places set up and the polling workers and the ballots printed in each of the polling places. And so we work very closely with the county officials regarding our first responsibility, which is election. The second main responsibility of the Secretary of State's office is what we call business services. Of course, most people are probably familiar that corporations and LLCs are created and supervised under the Arizona Corporation Commission. But the Secretary of State's office has responsibility for partnerships. So if a business is organized as a partnership, as opposed to a corporation or LLC, that goes through our office. We also issue trademarks and trade names for companies so that they can open their bank accounts and do business under whatever name they're operating under. Notaries, about 80,000 notaries throughout the state of Arizona are registered to our office. UCC filings, which are loans on business equipment and things like that. So we have a few elements related to the conducting of business in Arizona that goes through our office. So we have a business services division.
I know you're gearing up for the election of next year's election, a big state election. The new website, I was looking at the current website, and you said there's going to be a new website. You've got some major changes coming?
Well, we're trying to streamline and always make improvements to our website and all of our functions in the office so that people can find things easier. We have the Secretary of State's office in Arizona has kind of been for decades kind of a place where if somebody had a new idea and they passed a bill in the legislature to do this or that or whatever, and they couldn't quite figure out where to put it, sometimes it got assigned to the Secretary of State's office. So we do a lot of different things. Medical powers of attorney and what are called advanced directives get filed in our office. As I said, the notaries are all registered in our office.
The thing about telemarketers?
Telemarketers are supposed to register with our office. Charitable organizations are supposed to file with our office. There's all these different things to file with our office, and obviously, every time that the legislature passes a bill or the governor issues an executive order or a state agency adopts a rule or regulation, that gets filed in our office. So we're trying to figure out kind of on an ongoing basis how to make our website easier for people to use. We get a lot of people who come to us thinking that we have responsibilities that secretaries of state have in other states. Some states, they have driver's licenses and motor vehicle records and things like that, which we do not. There's a separate agency in Arizona over at MBD that does that. So there's people move from other states where they're used to the Secretary of State doing certain things there, and they get here, and it's a little bit different. But we do have kind of a wide variety of responsibilities that have been assigned to us over the years, and we're always trying to make our website a little more easy to use.
Only got about 2 minutes left here with Ken Bennett. I know the state is now posting the state elected officials' financial disclosure forms online in response to the scandal involving the Fiesta Bowl.
Yes. As part of a larger plan that we already had been wanting to kind of move in the direction of having more things online rather than people having to come to our office and ask for a copy and pay 10 cents a page and all of that stuff, we are now posting the financial disclosure statements of the statewide elected officials and legislators are on our website. I think the most recent disclosure statement that everyone did in 2010 is now up and online. And as time allows, we're going to start kind of working backwards to get a few more on there from the past. And then each year as people file new ones, those will, of course, be online as well. So people can go and see where these elected officials may or may not have conflicts of interest or how their private life interacts with their public life.
And folks can go to your website. That address is?
azsos.gov. So Arizona, AZSOS, as in Secretary of State, .gov.
Okay, Ken Bennett, thank you very much for being with us on the Buckmaster Show, and good luck with you continuing on as your duties as the number two elected official in the state of Arizona. We'll look forward to having you on the program in the future. Thank you.
I look forward to that. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. That was Ken Bennett, Arizona Secretary of State. It's now 17 minutes past 12. Paula Abad, Arizona's minority whip in the Senate, is coming up next on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthroth along La Cholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Spiro Amori presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Spiro Amori. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Spiro Amori in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at SpiroAmoriPizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub. Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com. A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day. Twelve 21 on the Buckmaster Show. Thank you very much for joining us wherever you are in Arizona as you listen on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful station. I actually had a call from a gentleman yesterday who was listening to us in downtown Phoenix, so we're delighted to hear about that reach. Governor Jan Brewer's office says she will not be calling the Arizona legislature back into special session again to vote on an unemployment benefit proposal until the lawmakers have a change of heart. On the Buckmaster Show live line is State Senator Paula Aboud of Tucson's District 28. She is a Democrat and she is the minority whip of the State Senate. Paula Aboud, good to talk with you. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, hi, Bill. Good to be here. Thanks.
Well, I guess there's no real reason that there is a reason, many would say, that the governor should call you all back into special session, but certainly the votes are not there, are they?
Well, she didn't work the votes. I think that we possibly could get those votes there. Unfortunately, the Republicans wanted to negotiate tax cuts in exchange for this unemployment extension. It was just a sad state of affairs, frankly. It's really sad for the thousands and thousands of people that are going to lose their unemployment benefits. And it's going to be sad because it wasn't going to cost this state a dime.
Well, I'm a bit confused because why did the governor even, if she didn't have the votes, why bother to bring all the lawmakers up to Phoenix for this special session that turned out not to be very special?
Well, we're all wondering the same thing. And I think the conclusion is, she's not a sophisticated governor. She doesn't fully get how to lead, so she's an ineffective leader. And so she didn't even contact the House Speaker of the House, Andy Tobin, didn't even contact him to see what the vote totals were there. She just thought on the basis of her reputation and her position that she could push this through. It's shocking.
You mean she didn't even talk with Tobin about this session before lawmakers came back to Phoenix?
No. And about 2.5 weeks out, the vote was 15-1 in the Republican circles against extending this. So there was so much opposition. If she wanted to make it happen, she needed to push it personally. But she didn't. She gave it to her kind of inexperienced legislative connector connection, and he just didn't make it happen, and he made her look like a fool.
Perhaps you saw this letter to the editor in yesterday's Arizona Republic. I'll quickly breeze through part of it. To our GOP lawmakers, have you no shame? Is your ideology more important than extending the federally funded measly $3.5 million for Arizona's thousands of jobless, money that would be spent in paying rent, buying groceries for their families, and actually helping our state's economy? We will remember in next year's election, believe me, shame on you. That's from Josh Missel of Mesa. He wrote that to the Republic.
Well, it is a shame on the Republicans, and they know it makes them look shameful. But the Tea Party really controls that legislature right now, and they don't really care what the public thinks. It's their ideology, and they don't want the federal government to go further into debt by extending Arizona unemployment benefits. But Arizona's workers have paid into the unemployment system, and these are their dollars that need to come back to them. And if we don't bring them back to Arizona, Bill, they're going to go to another state. So their ideology doesn't fit. It just hurts Arizona families.
Senator Paula Abbott is on the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:25. Paula, I was kind of shocked to get this news release from one of your colleagues, Representative Lynn, and I'm not sure how it's pronounced,
Pancrazzi,
a Democrat from Yuma, District 24. And basically, it's saying that the unemployment rate in Yuma County has now surpassed that of the Great Depression. The Yuma unemployment rate is 25.3%. You're talking one out of four people in Yuma County without a job.
And their state senator wasn't standing up for their workers. He was still ambivalent. So when this writer in Phoenix says, we're going to remember at the voting on election day, we can only hope. We really can. I mean, this state is being turned on its head by this Republican-led Tea Party legislature, and they're changing the values, and they're not standing up for our working families. You know, on top of it, Bill, on this issue, the unemployment issue, by not extending the benefits, they are now holding employers to a unemployment insurance tax increase. So it's hurting businesses also. It's just a travesty.
Let's see if we can squeeze a call in. We're going to a little premature on that. I want to ask you about the Russell Pierce recall. Looks like it is likely.
Oh, it's likely. It's going to happen. It's just the question is the election going to be in November? Will it get ratified in time? And will the governor put it on the November ballot, or will she put it in a special election in March? And they have a very tenuous relationship because the governor slammed Russell Pierce for not getting this unemployment extension through the Senate. And he needs to kiss her ring because she's the one that's going to determine whether he has a November election, which is going to make it harder for him to win, or a March a recall election. It's going to happen, Bill.
Okay.
I don't know whether he'll be taken out, though.
It's 12:27, and now we're ready with that call for Paula Abbott. This is from Dave. Go ahead, Dave.
Good morning, or good afternoon. How are you doing?
Doing real well. Question for Senator Abbott.
Yes, Senator. My question is, you know what, I've been fortunate enough myself to maintain employment, and thank God for that through this whole thing. But on the other hand, I'm kind of shocked by seeing how we keep extending and extending and extending these unemployment weeks. And I am all for helping anybody that needs help. But we're talking about spending money that we don't have in the first place. How do you get by that part of the question?
Thanks, Dave. Let's hear from Senator Abbott.
These are unemployment benefits. They've been paid into this federal system, and granted it's an extension. This is the worst economic recession since the Depression. So to help our families who are losing their homes, their cars, they're not able to feed their kids, they're going to be out on the streets. I get emails and phone calls regularly to that effect. We need to stretch in ways to help people because this economy isn't bouncing back, and it's not bouncing back in Arizona primarily. We are 9 months to a year behind the economic recovery of the rest of this country. We need extra help, and we're not getting it, and we have no leadership at the state legislature right now.
It does seem like the economic recovery, at least here in Tucson, as you know, has stalled.
Well, the economists say Arizona's economy is that far behind, 9 months to 12 months, partly because of the housing, partly because of 1070 and the boycotts that resulted, and the fact that folks don't want to come here. People don't want to invest in Arizona. They don't want to bring business here because our education system is so weak. There are a lot of reasons why Arizona needs additional help above and beyond what other states have. And we don't have an economy. We don't have anything to build on. Tourism and the housing industry are, those are shaky industries to base an economy on.
Senator Paula Abad, thank you for being on the Buckmaster Show. Have
Thanks,
a great
Bill.
Day.
Thanks
a lot.
Bye-bye.
Coming up now on 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show, standing by with me in studio is Shirley Scott, Tucson City Councilwoman. We'll be back. Stay with us. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Democrat Anthony Weiner is resigning from Congress, saying he cannot continue in office amid the intense controversy surrounding inappropriate messages and photographs he sent online to a number of women. One of the Senate's biggest backers of military action in Libya, Republican John McCain, is criticizing the White House for the way it defended that action. Two dozen union workers and officials have been charged with disorderly conduct after disrupting a legislative hearing at the New Jersey Capitol, a hearing on an employee benefits bill. For the first time since she was shot in Tucson, Arizona in January, Gabrielle Giffords is now living at home rather than at a hospital. On Wall Street, the Dow is up about 42 points, the NASDAQ trading 16 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service. With 30 projects under construction, including Tanque Verde Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle, please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tanque Verde, at the southwest corner of Tanque Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tanque Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tanque Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
Well, 34. This is the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday on a very, very hot, kind of dusty, windy. What do you say? I mean, it's June. We've had less than a half an inch of rain this year, one of the driest years on record. We will get through it. The rains will come, at least I'm told.
Hopefully before the fires.
And that's Shirley Scott, who hopefully will be able to get through this interview without coughing because the dryness has really gotten to you, hasn't it, Shirley?
It really has, and I started off with what I thought was a bug, and now it's gone into this insatiable urge to cough syndrome, so I apologize if I get caught up in that.
We'll see if you can get through the next 10 minutes. Joining me on the Buckmaster Show is Tucson Ward 4 Councilwoman Shirley Scott. Shirley Scott was first elected in 1995 and has been on the council longer than anyone else now serving. Councilwoman Scott, a Democrat, is running for another four-year term. She'll face Republican Tyler Vogt, who, when filing his nominating petitions to run for the Ward 4 seat, sent an open letter to Ms. Scott urging her to quit the race immediately, resign, so she could keep, in his words, her dignity and reputation intact. Were you, to say the least, surprised that someone asked you to resign right out of the chute like that?
Well, as I've said before, it's a very unusual way to start off a campaign with someone who has not been involved in the community that I know about ever. And so I just find it very amazing and really shocking that someone would start off that way and not talk about issues.
Let's talk about the issues. What are the issues that you'll be running on in this campaign?
Well, first of all, we have to make sure that we deliver services to the community that we can at the highest level still while having to suffer through the setbacks of lack of money coming in from every resource you can think of, and trying very desperately to maintain the roads and the budget and make sure the budget's balanced, making sure that public safety is held harmless from almost anything, that parks and recreation can be restored. Some of those services can be restored over time. But these are very complicated and deep-rooted issues that are not easily resolved with a silver bullet answer.
You know, Parks and Rec really has taken a hit, the folks over there,
haven't they? It's huge. It's huge. The reason why so many pools and so many facilities have been closed is for lack of personnel, because there isn't the money to pay them to keep those places open. It's that way across the board, and it's no kidding. We are to the actual bottom of the barrel, if you will. And I'm hopeful that as the economy slowly recovers, we can start to restore all of those things. As you know, the city workers have taken a hit. Tomorrow, for example, is furlough day. That means you go home and you don't get paid at all. And they've taken 9 of those days in order to help with the overall deficit we're working with. They've taken the initiative to increase their own contributions to their benefit packages. And that is a heroic thing. So throughout the city, there have been fewer people being able to answer the bell for anyone asking for service. And they're doing a whole lot more with very few people to answer all the questions that usually come in.
After a closed-door review of City Manager Mike Letcher, the council told him on Tuesday that he was doing a great job. I assume you take issue with the Arizona Daily Star's report today, a column kind of the contrary, certainly, of doing a great job.
There is, in the history of Tucson, never been, to my knowledge, a city manager who jumped in the worst possible recession that has hit us since the Great Depression. He has pulled out all stops, managed well. We have just gotten a bond rating that is stable and looking forward to a positive outlook. His management of the staff is to maintain the esprit de corps. He's doing a wonderful job, and he is working with the labor council very cooperatively so that he doesn't have that trickle-down kind of management style. He incorporates all of the people who are the directors, executive committee, and the labor council when they sit at the table and say, this is how the things are right now, and we need to work together to make sure things work well for everybody.
So I assume you take issue with that article.
The article was really slanted in the wrong direction. This man has jumped in and done a fine job. All you can do is take a look at all of the salutary comments that are made by me and others at the council table that say there are practically almost every department in the city of Tucson has gotten a national award for good work, good management, good practices. And no one really appreciates that more deeply than I do, I think. And the public needs to know the city workers in every single department are dedicated to giving the best level of service they possibly can without grumbling in most cases. They've taken a pay cut. They're taking furlough days. They're contributing more to the actual kitty with regard to their pension and benefits. I salute them, and Mr. Letcher has done an outstanding job holding this ship in the water and above board.
How about our road situation in Ward 4? There's drive through your ward, and there's probably as many potholes in your ward as just about every ward. I don't know if any ward gets the award for the most potholes, but
it's not a contest, and it's not unknown to all of us who sit there. We know that the roads throughout the entire community need repair. But, pardon me.
Okay. Take a sip of water.
I will. But when the HERF funds are cut back from the federal level, and you have the state legislature, Republican state legislature, that comes along and balances their budget by swiping money to the tune of $6 million out of our HERF funds, that kind of thing really puts a big dent in the ability to keep up with that level of maintenance that everybody wants. We get it. And what the city council did at the last meeting was to say every year, every council office has returned money to the kitty. And what we're saying is, we would like to put all of that money into one pot and then reallocate it evenly across the board so that one square mile in every ward that is at the worst possible deteriorated state, and use that money to repair those places. But that's the kind of money that we don't have and do have. So let's be real, folks. The money isn't there to do that. And if it came down to fixing a pothole or keeping police and fire in place, my money is on police and fire.
Are there enough police and fire at this point, or would you like to see more police and fire added?
Well, we have the most number we can afford right now, and there are going to be two academies in the police department being starting up.
That's the first time that's happened in a while, right?
Oh, there hasn't been the money. It costs money to actually do this. And from what I understand, 600 out of 600 applicants, 16 qualified to even get into the class. So we are up against the wall with regard to getting good recruits and then moving forward with educating and training them to become the officers of the future. There's going to be attrition at the top and a very large number there, but our police chief has told us and the community more than once that the level of service will not be jeopardized by the attrition. What they've done is at the low end of the scale is not respond as quickly to some of those lower priority calls.
So they really can't get to all the calls that they would like as fast as they would like.
Not as fast. And they're not prosecuting some of the things that people really do want to be prosecuted, such as graffiti. Well, in the whole litany of service from the police department, where does graffiti fall? we don't like it as a community. We've pledged to get rid of it to the best of our ability. But if it comes down to a high crime, they're going to go there first.
Less than a minute to go with Shirley Scott. It's about coming up on 12:44 as she works through her allergy situation. I'll be giving her some advice of what to take here after we go off the air. Maybe I can help you out a little bit. But we're going to have to wrap it up. Shirley Scott, we will talk with you as the campaign progresses. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks a lot. Coming up now on 12:44 on the Buckmaster Show, The Cow in the Parking Lot, A Zen Approach to Overcoming Anger. That's next. Very interesting book. Stay with this.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
12:49 on the Buckmaster Show. The cow in the parking lot, A Zen Approach to Overcoming Anger, has been called one of the best books ever written on the subject of anger. The author is a longtime Tucson attorney. He's been practicing in the Old Pueblo for nearly a half a century, Leonard Sheff, who has been a Buddhist for perhaps the past 20 years. Mr. Sheff, who advocates don't get mad, get calm, joins us now on the Buckmaster Show. Mr. Sheff, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
So how did this book come about?
Well, I did the Dalai Lama's teachings. I did the legal work to bring him here, and my clients rewarded me with the front row center seat, so sitting there, and this went on for 3.5 days, and I wasn't very happy. It was very difficult because the Dalai Lama insists on teaching in Tibetan, and so, you know, you don't listen for a while, and then you got to refocus. And then when I discovered that he was telling me to give up anger, I said to myself, he's a very nice man, but he's crazy if he thinks I'm going to give up anger. Well, I spent 3.5 days there, and the very next night, I was out driving and somebody pulled in front of me and too close and I honked and out of the window came the digital sign of disrespect and I was outraged. Should I ram his car? Should I do it back? Should I yell at him?
Take some kind of negative energy action, right?
Right. And then I said to myself, I just spent 3.5 miserable days. Maybe I ought to try this. So I asked myself, you know, what is it that's pushing my buttons? And I said, I want respect from a total stranger. And I thought that was pretty funny. And then I said, you know, but he gave me that sign. And I said, but it's me giving it meaning. Maybe he was just checking to see if it was raining. And I actually started laughing, and I wasn't angry anymore. And I said, there's something here.
But anger is something, certainly, that most of us really have to deal with. Many of us on a day-to-day basis, what's the first thing that we should think about before that natural reaction of anger kicks in?
Well, once the reaction of anger kicks in, and, you know, anger is a natural, normal human emotion. I've seen the Dalai Lama get angry. There are two things. One is what do I gain by being angry? And the other is what is my unmet demand? If you look in the back of the book, we have a little card to carry. In the event of anger, read this. And one of the things it says is the first person hurt by your anger is you. Because being angry doesn't feel good. And it can make you act stupidly. And so pretty soon you discover there's no real benefit from anger. And then if you want to lead a more effective life, you relegate anger to a very low position in your life.
We're speaking with Leonard Sheff. He is the author of The Cow in the Parking Lot, A Zen Approach to Overcoming Anger. Okay, now the title, The Cow in the Parking Lot.
Yeah. Well, everybody, of course, wants to know about that. I think it may be why it got published. I made up a little parable to illustrate the anger problem. You're in a new shopping center on the edge of town, and they're giving away a lot of stuff, so half the town is there, and you've been looking for a parking space for 10 minutes. Finally, there it is, just ahead of you. The backup lights come on. You stop, turn your turn signal on, and the car backs toward you, and as it does, a Jeep squirts into the parking space, and when you honk, young man gets out and smirks at you and goes off rapidly into the shopping center. Are you angry? You bet. And difficult not to be angry. Now we change the facts, however slightly. The car is backing up. And from the other direction, a cow walks into the parking space and settles down. You remember I told you it was on the outskirts of town. Well, the fact is that's where the cows spend every afternoon for who knows how long. So you honk, hoping the cow will go away, and the cow looks up and moos. Are you angry? Nah, you're amused. Got a great tail for the cocktail party.
Or if the cow stays where he is, I don't think I'd be as angry.
Well, that's the point. Yeah, the cow does stay.
Yeah, the cow stays. So
yeah, I was on the radio in Iowa, and they said, no, the cow wouldn't stay. We know how to move cows. But now the point
simple
is—
simple honking would not move the cow, right, in
right,
Iowa.
Right, yeah. Yeah. The point is that there's no difference functionally for you between the young man smirking at you. You still got to go find another parking place. And being angry just makes it more difficult, probably more dangerous. If you really got a head of steam on, it's when you collide with somebody in the parking lot.
That's true. Leonard Sheff is with us. He's the author of The Cow in the Parking Lot. 790-2040 if you would like to speak with Mr. Sheff about his book. It's a Zen approach to overcoming anger. By getting rid of a lot of the anger in your life, Mr. Sheff, do you find that you're a happier person?
Oh, definitely. The level of contentment I have since this insight is just really unbelievable. I thought that, you know, anger was really important to my life, and it's sure it was important in the wrong direction.
You know, you talk about the mythology of happiness. Maybe we can touch on that a little bit.
Right. That's a takeoff from John Tarrant, who calls Buddhism the technology of happiness. The end game in Buddhism is to be happy. And so the mythology of happiness is the opposite of Buddhism, where you think that possessions will make you happy, fame, fortune, and all of those things. And the reality is that, you know, people who win the lottery 5 years after they've won it wish they hadn't, and so on and so forth. So in the mythology of happiness, we talk about all of the things that you think will make you happy but in fact have the opposite effect. There's a Zen saying in there, possessions we intend to possess end up possessing us.
The Buddha said, and this is from your book, hate brings great misfortune, hate churns up and harms the mind. This fearful danger deep within, most people do not understand.
That's exactly correct. You tell people, well, like the Dalai Lama told me I was going to do with anger, it was inconceivable to me until I actually experimented with it and discovered that I really didn't want to be angry and I wasn't getting anything from it. As a matter of fact, it was the opposite. I never understood why I didn't settle as many cases as other attorneys, and it was because I came on with a head of steam.
How long did it take you to get your anger under control?
Well, there was no particular moment after that first one that I described with, you know, the car. It was a gradual process, and in the last chapter in the book, I write how difficult it is to get rid of the anger. It's like a guest in your house that you've had so long you don't realize that you can evict him, despite the fact that whenever he shows up and you're talking to somebody, he alienates them and he embarrasses you. And so you kick him out finally, and then he comes creeping back in and tries to convince you you can't live without him. Well, that's anger.
Some of the members of Congress could probably deal with
Well,
could use your book.
We're hoping that. We've sent 450 copies to Raul Grijalva's office, and he's read the book and distributed it with a really nice cover letter, which you can find on the new website for The Cow, thecowintheparkinglot.com.
And that's
The Cow
all
in
together,
the Parking Lot is one word.
Thecowintheparkinglot.com.
You can read his letter, and we have a whole stack of thank you notes from members of Congress, and we're working on trying to get some publicity on that. There is one member of Congress, Tim Ryan, not Paul Ryan, but Tim Ryan, who actually teaches mindfulness to other members of Congress, and he's written me a note that he wants to get together with me.
Was it difficult to get your manuscript published?
Oh, really incredibly difficult. The publishing business is on hard times, and for a first-time author who essentially has no credentials, it's almost miraculous. And the reason is that my co-author, Susan Edmonston, is a longtime writer, and she knew somebody at the publisher, and somebody finally sat down and read the book. I had, preview, I had maybe six publishers tell me I was neither a Zen wise man nor a psychologist, so I wasn't entitled to write the book. I wasn't able to write the book.
But you did score eventually with Workman Publishing out of New York, a big national publisher. So congratulations and kudos for that. Again, the book is The Cow in the Parking Lot, A Zen Approach to Overcoming Anger. Leonard Schaff has been our guest, and his website, thecowintheparkinglot.com. And can people buy this book locally if they want to actually go to the bookstore?
Any bookstore should have it. Antigone has a good stock of it in. Might note that it's now in 10 languages.
Good.
Licensed in 10 languages. Five of them are on the newsstands.
I like the book very much and enjoying it very much. Thank you, Leonard Schaff, for being with us.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. That's going to do it for this Thursday for the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow, the Friday Roundtable, the guest will be Chuck Huckleberry, Pima County Administrator. Have a great afternoon. See you tomorrow.